Our Old Testament lesson today can be found in your pew Bible on page number 649 of the Old Testament. It is Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. Hear these words. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. If you turn once again in your hymnal to Psalm number 72, page 795 and 96. We will read responsibly. Bless you. Give the King your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the royal son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people. Give deliverance to the needy and crush the oppressor. May he live while the sun endures and as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may righteousness flourish and peace abound till the moon be no more. May he have dominion from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. May his foes bow down before him, and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of the isles render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him, all nations serve him. For he delivers the needy when they call, the poor and those who have no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy, and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May the gold of Sheba be given to him. May prayer be made for him continually, and blessings invoked for him all the day. May there be abundance of grain in the land. May it wave on the tops of the mountains. May its fruit be like Lebanon, and may they blossom forth in the cities like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever, his fame continue as long as the sun. May people bless themselves by him, all nations call him blessed.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. It can be found on page 181, the New Testament section of your pew Bible. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew, the story that started it all. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And if you're following along in your pew Bible, I will draw your attention to page 1 of the New Testament. And if you brought your Bible, I know that you can find it on your own. Hear this wonderful story. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Epiphany. This is one of those events in our salvation history that has a title that has some confusion or perhaps some ambiguity associated with it. What the heck is Epiphany? So let's turn to the dictionary for a clear definition of that word, shall we? If you look at the dictionary with a capital letter E, Epiphany, that is a Christian festival observed on January 6th. Commemorating the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles in the person of the Magi. It is Twelfth Day. Small e, Epiphany, is an appearance or manifestation, especially of a deity, or a sudden intuitive perception of or an insight into the reality or essential meaning of something, usually initiated by some simple, homely, or commonplace occurrence or experience. It is any moment of sudden or great revelation. It is the aha moment. Well, for most of us, I believe, Epiphany is the time when the three wise men showed up in Bethlehem after they'd followed that star from these far off lands in order to find the newborn King of the Jews, Jesus. If you think back to all the Christmas cards you got this year and probably every creche set that you have ever seen, they generally have the timing and many of the details of this story wrong. But it is still at its most basic level, this miraculous manifestation of a star pointing to the Christ child. Clearly, Epiphany is this, but it is so much more. Over the course of my life, I have had a few experiences of spectacular God-given sightings in the night sky. Maybe you have too. Perhaps then we can understand and empathize a bit about what these three magi were experiencing. One winter, when Jane and Zach and I were living in Cortez, we took a short vacation to Moab, Utah, as we often did, to hike in Arches National Park. But as it turned out, this trip, the timing of our visit to Moab coincided exactly with a spectacular meteor shower, one of the best displays of falling stars in a long time. Well, we set our alarm clock for 3 o'clock a.m., and we had to drag little Zachariah out of bed and pour him into our car so that we could drive to the edge of town where it was the darkest view of the night sky. We had to get away from the light pollution of Moab. Well, we stood there in the beautiful darkness and gazed up into God's grand heaven above. That view of the meteor shower was just amazing. I couldn't believe the words in the song we sang. It said, "The star rains its fire." Well, that's what it looked like for us. As we looked up with our mouths hanging open, we saw more than 75 meteors every minute. It looked like the sky was alive with shooting stars. Well, this was an iconic experience for me. I've always been drawn to the wilderness of God's creation. And I am most at home and most comfortable to be hiking or watching birds or backpacking with those I love the most, especially Jane and Zach. But this meteor shower in Moab was a shared experience that none of the three of us will ever forget as long as we live. And I imagine that it must have been the same kind of experience for these astrologers, these magi, who traveled from so far away to see the realization of their observation of this magnificent star. Their lives would never again be the same after this amazing epiphany. These wise men clearly understood whose birth was being heralded by this celestial event. The gifts that they brought to Mary's little boy indicate their complete understanding of who Jesus would become. Gold is a gift fit for a king, especially for the king of the Jews and ultimately the king of all creation. Frankincense was a perfume or an incense, and that spoke to his priestly role in salvation history. And myrrh was used as an ointment in preparing a body for burial, clearly a reference to Jesus' crucifixion and death upon the cross. These gifts are described in our popular hymn, "We Three Kings," that we sang last week. But it's ironic that our tradition has convinced us that there were three magi. Scripture never mentions a number or their names, but our forebears in the faith have supplied these details. It is often assumed that because there were three gifts, there must have correspondingly been three magi. In a similar manner, our tradition shows us that these three astrologers on their camels were there at the manger in Bethlehem, right alongside the shepherds and the cute little cows and sheep. Not so, according to the Bible. Most scholars believe that the Magi showed up when Jesus was at least 1 year old. The details are interesting to consider, but that doesn't change the truth that God created this amazing star sign in the sky that drove these learned men to find the source of the light of the world, this newborn king of the Jews. But I want you to think about the signs in the skies surrounding Jesus' birth, and whose attention was drawn to these heavenly signposts. You probably remember that passage from Luke. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on east earth peace among those whom he favors." And then we have this current passage from Matthew to consider as well. But think about this. Most of the people of Jerusalem and all of Judea, as well as King Herod and his entire royal court, never saw this angel. They never saw these heavenly hosts or this amazing star. But shepherds, the lowliest of the lowly in that society, as well as foreign astrologers, were drawn to this world-changing event in Bethlehem. And I believe it begs this question. Were these the only people paying attention? Or was this God's choice that only these people would be made aware of Jesus' birth? That's worth pondering. God created this amazing star sign in the sky, but it was up to human beings to take notice, to recognize its importance, and to respond in kind by seeking the Savior. Advent and Christmas have come and gone. Today is Epiphany and the end of Christmastide. It is a new year, 2013, and it is time to pay attention to God's love in your life. It is time for you to seek out your Savior. I pray that just as the wise men saw the star of Christ, you may see the light of Jesus. As John tells us, this true light, which enlightens everyone, has come into the world. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. My sisters and brothers, God's light still shines. May you have an epiphany of your own. May your life reflect God's love every day. Amen.